She's talking about some funny things that have her all in fits. She's ranting about the subjects that get right on her tits. She's chatting with the lovely folk and some who are real shits. It's Smooth Style, No Bits. Smooth Style, No Bits. It's a podcast.
La-di-da-di-da. Well, here we are again, my lovelies. It's podcast day and, I have to say I'm a little bit chilly. Just made myself a nice cup of tea. I'm on the green tea at the moment because I've read that it's very suitable for ladies of a certain age. No, fuck that. Menopausal women. So I'm on the green tea. It doesn't mean I'm drinking any less coffee, which is probably not the idea. But there you go. Little steps, little steps. I haven't smoked for ages. So that's all right, isn't it? Whatever gets you through the day. How you doing, team? Oh, it's good to see you. Well, I can't see you, obviously, but I hope you get the spirit of what I'm saying. What's going on with me, you ask? Well, how kind of you to ask. Yes, I did have a job interview, as I hinted last week, and yes, I did get the job, thank you very much. Unfortunately, I can't still tell you anything about it because for reasons I can't be bothered to go into, it's not actually being announced yet. So just know that I am very pleased. I'm very pleased with myself. I'm very pleased with my new colleagues that they had the wisdom to accept me into their bosoms. Quite a lot of bosoms where I'm going. Looks like it's all going to kick off next week. So next time around we do this, I should be able to tell you a bit more about it. What else is going on? Oh, the side gate. What did you lose in the great storm? My side gate fell off, which is annoying for two reasons. One is that it means that the garden is not safe, so I can't let the dog out unsupervised. So I've now become one of those people who stand in the garden in the pouring rain at 11 o'clock at night waiting for a black Labrador, who I can't actually see in the darkness, to do whatever his business is, which can quite oftentimes is just woofing into a bush, because obviously he's aware of things in the night that I can't see, little misses and things like that. So no, I don't have an umbrella. No, I don't have a jacket with a hood. Yes, I know these are all sensible things, but I'm not that way. I just stand there getting wet, often with not even any shoes on, sometimes in a pair of pyjamas. Oh, God, I'm falling apart. Don't tell my new employers. I'm also ashamed of the side gate because it makes me look like I don't quite fit in the area. I'm wondering if I'm going to be on the agenda of the next Residents Association meeting that I don't go to, by the way. Because although I'm the sort of person that's very happy to pitch in and muck in and do things, I don't really want to be on committees and talk about them. I've always been like that with PTAs during my kids' school life. I don't really enjoy sitting in a room with 10 other parents discussing whether lemon squash or orange squash is the better kind of squash to have for the school disco. No, I'll come and help run the school disco, no problem at all. In fact, I have done on many occasions. My popcorn making is legendary. Oh, and on the matter of school, I think I told you last week that I'd been queuing up for the fight over the school shoes because my daughter's very sensible Dr. Martin boots apparently no longer fit into the school uniform culture. Well, it's happened. She got taken to one side, was taken into the mediation room. I think that means where the angry people go. And told that she couldn't wear those particular shoes with a skirt. Now, there's a reason for suggesting that footwear is not appropriate. Because it doesn't look, what, ladylike enough? So far, I have written a very friendly and smiley letter to the head teacher, who I rate, suggesting that this is all a bit silly, isn't it, and shall we just quietly let it drop? But we all know what that means, doesn't it? It means if we don't let it drop, then Mother Dragon is going to rear her head, and I have my daughter's full permission to go to war on this one. So, yeah, I know you're waiting with bated breath on that one. Oh, but apparently her skirt, which also doesn't fit in with the stated school uniform rules, that's fine. That's not interfering with her education in a way that her footwear apparently is. I was tutting and rolling my eyes, but it didn't really sound very effective, does it? Hold on, I'm going to suck my teeth. I think you need to learn to, you need to be brought up by adults who are doing that around you constantly to do it efficiently. No, can't suck my teeth. Maybe I'll get someone who can do it efficiently and then make a little jingle of teeth sucking, and then I can just play it in at times when I need to express my deep, you know, displeasure with something. Oh, I also mentioned to you that I was having a meeting about an event later in the year, and I can now tell you a bit about that. On the 22nd of March, I'm getting involved with a bunch of other women to put on an event called Woman Scream. It's going to be on as part of Artful Scribes Poetry / Spoken Word. I was going to say oeuvre. That's not right, is it? They're, you know, things, what they do. But it's going to be all women performers, and I'm helping organise it. I've done some promotion-y stuff. I'm going to make a backdrop for it. I'm doing some kind of just general whipping in and getting people involved. So I think it's going to be good fun. It's going to be at the Art House in Southampton. I'll mention it every other time. It's going to be mixed. It's men and women in the audience. It's not a women-only event. So I think that should be fun. And then also I'm up to my bosoms in the Wee Moon activities, because a couple of weeks before that, on the 8th of March, which is... What's the 8th of March, everyone? All together now, it's International Women's Day. I've been asked to compare a cabaret event again, which is going to take place on the SS Shield Hall, which is an old steam ship which is moored in the docks in Southampton. And I'm planning a little sing-along for that, a special tune which is very close to my heart, which I think if we can get a whole bunch of women singing it, perhaps with pretend lighters in the air or holding hands and swaying or something, as well as being somewhat moving, I think it'll also be hysterically funny. So I'm not going to tell you quite what that is yet, because I want to keep my powder dry on that one. But if you are a woman around Southampton and you think you might be going along to that event and you'd like to know what the song is in advance so you can learn it, Not you don't have to learn it like off by heart. There's no harmonies or anything. It's just confidently knowing what the tune is so you can sing it out loud. Give me a shout and I will I'll let you know, because I just want some voices behind that one. And Sherlock. Sherlock was quite good in the end, wasn't it? Did you like it? I really enjoyed it. My only complaint is 3 episodes is not a season. The BBC have adopted this word of the season. The last one in the season of Sherlock. Well, 3 eps, that ain't a season. That was 3 episodes. So I know they were an hour and a half long each, but it's a bit disappointing that it all ended so quickly and we have to wait forever. So I'm still bereft of decent television to watch. There's absolutely nothing. And none of you have come forward with any recommendations for me, for which I'm very disappointed. So, slightly tight-lipped, I bring you this week's interview, which was an unusual one in that I met with someone for the first time. We'd never met before. His name is Nick Tan, and you'll hear him describe himself, but Nick gave up all other sorts of employment in 2012 to concentrate full-time on making his living from writing songs, teaching and performing music. To which he does, you know, he seems to be really getting that together extremely efficiently. I also had the enormous pleasure of him playing a couple of songs live for me, sitting on my sofa in my sitting room, which was a real thrill. I mean, it's you know, live music is a wonderful thing at any time, but to have someone playing these songs full of, you know, real passion, kind of dark passion, just, you know, 2 feet away from you, personally for you, was really quite something. He also played a third song for me after the microphones were off, which almost moved me to tears, I have to say, which is an amazing thing in this life, isn't it? So here it is, my interview with the very interesting Mr. Nick Tan. Let's start this properly, because otherwise okay. I won't have my proper edit point. Hello, Nick Tan. Thank you very much for coming along and being on my podcast.
It's fine. And I brought the sun.
You did bring the sun. How amazing. Now, Nick, you and I have never, ever met before.
I know. Who the hell are you?
Here you are, sitting in my house, having a lovely cup of coffee with some dog hair in it.
Lovely.
That's just the way, I'm afraid. There's dog hair in the fridge, in the bath. You know, it's just... That's just living with a dog.
I've got to tell you something.
Yeah?
I'm not a dog person.
You're not really a dog person. Sorry
about
that.
Further away than a dog, but than not a dog person.
Oh, you're allergic?
No, I'm not allergic.
Oh, that's
you saw me scratch my nose.
Yeah, I was thinking, oh, God, my brother is when he comes over.
I was just picking it.
Yeah.
No, I don't really like dogs.
No, I don't really like dogs. But you're not scared of them?
Oh, not so scared of them.
Well, that's good. That's good.
No.
Well, the doggy obviously knows that, because he's now lying down quietly over there and not coming to get you. So, Nick, I know your name as a musician and as a name associated mainly in my head with The Railway, which is a music pub in Winchester.
Mm-hmm.
But who are you? You tell me who you are.
Who am I? I'm a songwriter.
Right.
That's what I do. And ideally, I'd like to spend every waking hour writing songs because I love doing that.
Yeah.
I love composing. The music. I struggle with the words sometimes because they're important to me, I think. That's why I struggle with them.
Yeah.
The music's important as well, but the music always comes. I could write a song for you now.
Yeah.
It's very moment. I could pick up the guitar and go bang, bang, bang,
just
bang.
Noodle,
brand
noodle,
new
noodle.
Song. There you go. Then you'd go, well, what about the lyrics? And go, ah, the lyrics take a bit longer. And so that can be a little bit of a struggle. But that is basically what I do.
Yeah.
As that as my central core of things that I do, I can't just do that in my room because no one will know about it.
Yeah.
And one of my fears is dying and then people realising what a bloody genius I am.
Oh, that you've got these
10
thousands
years. Yeah,
of
that's
back
right.
Catalogue.
Look at all this. Oh, look at what we missed out on. I was like, no, you could have adored me now. So that's what I've got. So to the next kind of layer is the performance. So I have to perform these songs.
Yeah.
So to do a good performance, I study performance a lot.
Right.
That's really, really important
so
to
what,
me.
So watching other people? Is going to gigs, do you mean? Or?
I very
rarely go to gigs.
Rarely go to gigs?
You're like all the actors in my family. They never go to the theatre ever.
No, that's
they like doing it. They don't want to watch other people doing
it. I don't watch other people. Because I always think, well, that's rubbish.
Yeah. So you think hard about performance.
Oh, that's very, yes, very,
so
very
what?
Important
tell
me
about
me.
That.
Well... I basically got into a guy called Tom Jackson a few years ago, and he's an American kind of evangelistic. Look, everybody, look at me! And
oh,
he does
sort of management-y guru,
striding
up and down the conference room kind of.
That's
thing.
Right. And a few of his videos I saw on YouTube, and I thought I'll check this guy out a bit more.
Yeah.
And what was reassuring was that he was suggesting things to do. That I was already doing.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Yeah, brilliant. I understand that feeling completely.
Because when I first kind of started doing this solo a few years ago, I was really nervous. I was really unconfident.
Yeah.
And I would close my eyes all the way through my gig, not look at anybody.
Well, done it with your back to the audience.
If I could, I wouldn't have spoken to the audience. Don't speak to the audience. Just sort of like go in for one song. And then I got more confident, just through people sort of saying to me, "You're quite good." I go, "Really? Am I?" And so I've kind of grown in confidence and done a lot of shows.
Yeah.
Just done a lot.
Yeah.
I've just played a lot. I used to do all the open mic stuff. Someone mentioned to me on Facebook the other day, "Oh, Nick Tanzer, he's an aficionado on open mic nights," and like. I don't really do them now, unless there's a reason for it.
Yeah.
But I've kind of they're a different kind of environment. They're a false, not a false environment. That's not true. But they're a difficult environment because they're generally for the musicians.
Yes.
Who are there and listening to, and they've got their own agenda.
Also, I find them quite uncomfortable. You get on, you do your one or two songs, and then you're off again.
Yeah.
And it's like you just beginning to crack a little bit of the vibe in the room, and it's over.
Yeah.
Not very sort of satisfying.
No, and even then, if you're there, you're one of 10 other performers. Yeah. And so is anyone going to go away thinking, oh, that Nick Tan, wasn't he fantastic?
Yeah, people are just
checking
their foot
out
going,
before he dies.
I'm on number 10.
Yeah.
We're on E6 now. Come on, get on with it, get on with it.
That's right. And because we were sort of mentioned earlier on about me doing this full time, when you do it for money, it galvanises you.
Yeah.
And so it becomes, I don't know, it centres you and you think about things. And other people have said to me, other people that I know, have gone, oh no, I couldn't do it for money because it would affect my art. And I go, well, yes, I can see where you're coming from, but for me, it improves my art.
Mm.
Because if I was just sitting at home as a painter and I was just slapping stuff on going, that looks fantastic, I think that's brilliant, that's fine. Leave it at home.
Yeah.
But if you want to show it to other people, you want it to look good.
And also it does give you a drive to... I mean, I'm a terrible finisher. Terrible, terrible. I can start lots and lots of things and have my finger in many pies and enjoy the variety and the fact that it's new and exciting and stimulating all the time. But actually, if at the end of the day you've got to deliver it somewhere, you've got to finish it. You've got to...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, that was dog walking over guitar. Probably very expensive guitar.
Yes,
so true. You talked about the fact that you now do this full time, and this is how you make your living as a musician. Who was Nick Tan before that?
Well, I've always been a musician since I was 13. Well, yeah, before 13.
Is that your first guitar?
That was my first guitar was 6.
Yeah.
But that's always been my dream, to be a professional musician.
Yeah.
And it's taken me all these years to actually get there. So I basically screwed up at school. Went straight to work, bummed around doing lots of different jobs.
Are you local to the South Coast? Or have you
I used to, basically London.
Yeah.
And a little village called Shepperton.
Which I know Shepperton well.
Do you?
Yes, because I used to have to go to Shepperton Studios a lot.
Ah.
So I used to drive past the sheep on the little thing up to the watery thing there.
Yeah. My dad used to work. I spent a lot of my childhood in Shepperton Studios.
Yeah,
my dad used to work there.
What did dad do?
My dad was a lighting rigger for a company called Mole Richardson that doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
It was taken over by Lees.
Yeah, Lees Lighting.
Lees Lighting, yeah. He knew the Lee brothers when they first started. We could wax lyrical about all this.
Fantastic. I used to love hanging out at Shepperton.
Well, yeah, I used to play on the Oliver set when I was a kid.
Really?
Because they kept it up for years, the Oliver set. The street scene.
Oh,
in Oliver.
Just as a useful Victorian scene.
So we used to go and play in there on a Sunday.
Like the back lot at Warner Brothers or something.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
So and what else do you remember being made there?
Some Who stuff.
Yeah.
Because there was the Who house there, wasn't there? There's a, called the Who house. The Who had a house actually on the Shepperton Studios.
Oh, dear. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Folklore.
Well, my dad was involved with the Who for a while and the Beatles and things.
Right.
Because he worked at the Isle of Wight Rock Festival in '69 and did the lights.
This is huge coolness.
And he did the lights for the Who.
Right.
He was on stage for the Who. If you look at the footage of the Who
'69,
you can't see him because he's behind a massive light. Was panning out. He was panning these lights over the crowd while Who were playing.
Oh, that's an excellent.
And they asked him to be a roadie afterwards, but my dad used to bullshit quite a bit, so I'm not too sure whether he sort of added that at the end.
Yeah, could be. I could have gone on tour with Who.
It could have been something.
But
like
I stayed
that.
With your mother and raised the children.
That's right. Yeah, that's what he did. So I'm from Shepperton, and then I moved into London for a while, and then I met my wife who lives in Eastleigh, and so I moved down to Eastleigh.
Yeah, and that's what brought you down here.
Mm.
And 2012, you said, you finally made the big leap to full-time.
I was offered voluntary redundancy from my job.
Oh, fantastic.
And
I know people who crave that.
Yeah, well, I did for quite a long time.
Yeah, please take me.
Yeah, and they did, fortunately. And so I thought, I had a chat with my wife, and I said, do you know what, I reckon I can do this.
Yeah.
If I had more time and more effort, I could do this. And I do. I mean, I teach guitar as well. I teach guitar and bass. And I've built that up as a business from nothing, which I'm quite pleased about.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like my day-to-day work, if you like.
Yeah.
But it means that I can come
here. You've
got
the flexibility.
Midday.
Yeah. Here we are on a Wednesday afternoon.
And I've been on tour last year for a couple of months, doing different things, and so I could take that time off. Because another thing I do is I'm a bass player.
Right.
I'm a bass player for a band called Coast.
No, forgive me, I have not heard of Coast.
No, they're not very, they're not massive here, but they're quite big in Europe.
Right.
And so I'm like an occasional bass player.
Right, so you get summoned to go on tour.
I get summoned to go on tour or to do gigs and things like that. I'm a, sort of like a, one of a pool of players.
Yeah.
That plays with Coast. So I go and do things like that, which is quite nice. Nice bunch of guys playing some good rock music out in Denmark. Went to Denmark for a couple of weeks last year, and Scotland for a few weeks last year. Flew back to Norway and did a few things out there. So that's quite nice.
Amazing.
But this is what happens when you're self-employed. Things come up. You know, I taught a whole day of singing lessons for Stagecoach over a year ago.
Yeah.
And then someone said, "Oh, can you teach singing?" And I thought,
Apparently I can.
Probably. Yeah, no problem at all. So I did that, and you know, I get to do all kinds of weird and wonderful things.
Do you think doing those things as well, the teaching and stuff, has fed into your sort of increasing performance confidence?
I suppose so, but that confidence comes from the actual songs themselves, I think.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because if I wasn't singing anything,
having faith in the songs,
having faith
and
in the songs, and also being able to project them in a way that I want them to be heard.
Yeah,
because that's really important, I think. And I put a lot of, like I said earlier on, I put a lot of effort into that and getting it right.
You referred a bit to this American guy. What was his name again?
Tom. Oh, I've forgotten now.
You've forgotten his name. Anyway, you said it earlier. What were the? I recognised completely when you said
Tom Jackson.
Completely when you said, I saw him saying, this is how it should be done. You go, oh yeah, I already do that.
Yeah.
And I do that. Oh, but that one's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
What were those things that spoke to you?
The things for me were talking to the crowd, obviously.
Yeah.
Looking at the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, darting around, catching, getting eye contact from different people, which you can't do if you've got your bloody eyes closed.
That is a sad fact of life.
Little things like when you're on stage, if you're playing, don't walk backwards, because sometimes you want to walk away from the mic.
Yes.
Don't walk backwards. Walk sideways.
Walk sideways, yeah, nice.
Walk to the side of the stage as opposed to the back of it.
Keep that connection. Don't break.
The connection. You just kind of move it around.
Yeah.
Which is really good. Also, this thing that the Americans have that I think some English people, I'm just going to generalise, might find a little bit crass.
Yeah.
Is like, don't forget, buy my CD.
Yeah.
You know?
Ask for the sale. Yeah,
ask for the sale. Well, we think that's a little bit vulgar. We go, oh no, oh, all these people, and I see it in various places.
They're on the table at the front, they'll notice them if they want to.
That's right, and we're quite embarrassed about that.
Also,
some audiences that aren't into me, people that come to my gigs, they know me.
Yeah.
They know me, they kind of got an idea what I like. I've got a bit of a following, it's not massive, but I'm not going to fill arenas
Wembley.
And stuff. Yeah, but I get people that come along, and they're like, oh, where's your CDs then, Nick? Where'd you CD? And also, playing with Coast, after Coast gigs in Denmark, as soon as you finish the gig, to the merch table. Where everybody will be queuing up, and I've signed countless CDs.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you how many
and
CDs.
And there's a T-shirt and a tour poster.
And people want these things.
Yeah.
And if they don't want them, then that's fine. That's perfectly all right. But
I think there might be a generational thing there. I think younger musicians who are coming through on the absolutely do-it-yourself...
Yeah.
You know, it's all about YouTube followers, it's about Twitter followers, it's about everything else. I went to a fantastic gig at the Joiners recently by the Keston Cobblers Club. Beautiful, folky band. There was a tuba in it, there were trombones. It was a marvellous mixed gaggle. And the whole thing was that they sold a little passport so that if you went to more than one of their gigs, you then got money off things. And they took a photo of you with
like
the band
that.
And stuck it in your passport.
Yeah,
and
so
I thought,
these are all the sort of
blimey,
things.
You're slick.
That's lovely. I wish I had the time and sometimes the chutzpah to do that.
Yeah.
Because often, when you're on your own, it's difficult to go up to somebody after a gig and say, would you like to try my mailing list?
Yeah.
Do this thing here. If you've got a lovely assistant with you,
or you're a band of five people,
or you're
all
that's right.
Then each other
it's easier.
Turns,
it's easier, and people are much more friendly about it. Especially if you've got somebody who's personable that's going to go around. And go, oh,
yeah.
And if it's actually meeting the person that's just spoken to you on stage, there is that thing about the third curtain or something, whatever it's called.
Fourth wall.
I know it's something like that.
Third curtain.
Which also sounds a little bit like I'm up my own arse. But these things I have to bear in mind when I'm performing, because I'm doing this for a living. I'm not just doing it for a giggle. I mean, my ultimate aim is to sell. Really, is to sell some songs to some artists that are bigger than me.
Yeah.
That's because remember my very very core.
Songwriter.
I'm a songwriter. You know, and if I can get some of those songs placed with other people, fantastic.
And how does that happen? I don't understand.
I don't know either. I wish I bloody knew.
There must be like agents and producers.
There are
just for songs.
Yep, absolutely right.
I remember talking to. I happen to know the dad of someone who currently plays in a band. He's having a lot of success in America. You might know who they are, and I won't say who they are because it's all their private business. But I remember him telling me about this very innovative deal they had, which included, this is in America, included music in adverts or music
in
all this kind of thing, or video games and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then I remember seeing the musician's son and him going, Jesus, I wish Dad wouldn't talk about that stuff, because that's not very rock and roll, is it?
No.
Talking about the deal.
Yeah, tell it to Moby.
Yeah, absolutely. He's just giving it all away now,
probably.
Isn't he?
It's probably, yeah, for tax reasons, probably.
And he says...
But also, there's only so much money a person can need.
Yeah.
You know, there must come a limit when all the money's coming and you're like, oh, just shove it out the back. Don't worry.
He's done a thing, which I'm sure it is, and he says, just use it for your film or your video or your... Just use any of this you want as a soundtrack.
But, yeah, oh, right, cool.
That's what he's...
Yeah. But that's also very good publicity as well. Like, oh, it's a Moby
trick. Of course it is.
When
it is.
A few years ago... I think it was for the Lion King. Sting wrote some music for it. I think he might have written all the music for it. I don't know. I've never seen the Lion King.
Yeah.
But there's some stuff that he did. And it's a Disney film, and Disney said, we want to buy your copyright. And he went, nah.
No, you
never sell your copyright. And they went, we'll give you $7 million. He went, have it.
Yeah. Yeah, how much do you want? How much more than $7 million do you want?
And he wrote another piece of music for a Jaguar commercial, and he said, have it. Have that. Have that, because that bit of music will go out all over the world. People will go, oh, Sting, isn't he great?
Yeah. But that's difficult, isn't it? Because once, it's like that thing, once people get famous, companies start giving them things.
Well, it should be the other way around.
And all the rest of, they don't need it.
Yeah.
They've got the money.
Yeah.
But then again, who cares if Nick Tan wears a certain jacket? But they do care if, you know, I don't know, somebody out of One Direction wears
Absolutely right. And I need it.
Yeah, come on, we need jackets. It's pissing the rain out there.
That's all right, I've been given a couple of jackets from my good friend, the Real Raj.
Who's the Real Raj?
Oh, the Real Raj. You must check out the Real Raj.
Yeah.
He's a good friend of mine, is a fantastic songwriter, brilliant performer. Yeah, check him out.
It's a good name. Yeah. Another local person?
Yeah, Lymington, I think he is. Yeah. New Forest folk.
So tell me about the night you put on as well. What do you call your night?
Is This Thing On?
Is This Thing On, yes.
Which
a great
is the
name.
Same as my podcast.
Yeah, it's a good name. That's right, because you do a podcast as well. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, I started doing it about 2008. And I just recently sort of like moved to the area. And I've sort of been finding my way as a solo musician. I've sort of been doing down here. I've been doing it a little bit in London. And I found, oh, there's all these open mics and stuff. I met all these different people and thought, oh, they're really good.
Mm.
Why isn't anybody playing their songs? Because they're really good. They're not just like your normal amateur hour, sort of like, here comes John with his, well done, John, you know.
Yes.
These are like proper guys that...
Could be session musicians, could be...
Yeah, could be...
Yeah, headlining things.
And I thought, what I'll do is I'll create this podcast, because I've been looking at podcasts, because one of the people that I used to follow a lot and still... is a fantastic podcast, although he doesn't do it that much anymore, is a guy called Richard Vobes.
Right.
And he is one of the first podcasters in the country.
I mean, 2008 is early.
Oh, no, he's early with a guy called Roe Cutler. They were like 2004, 2005.
Yeah,
that's when they started.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to him and him doing his podcast. Because people still don't know what podcasts are.
No, it's still just... I'm having to explain it to
it's
people
difficult,
every time
isn't it?
I say.
It's what I say, it's a bit like the iPlayer, but there was no live show. And that's how,
yes,
I describe it.
I refer to like Radio 4. It's like listening to... Because my stuff is talky, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like listening to a Radio 4 programme, except the BBC didn't make it. It's made independently over here. Yeah, no, it does blow people's minds a little bit.
Yeah, that it's all out there, and that there's so many there. So I started doing this podcast, thinking, this is a brilliant idea. How amazing is this? No one's thought of this, because I was getting people to send me their tracks.
I'm a genius!
Yeah, I did. I was thinking, this is amazing. And this is going to make me money and everything. And it was all going well. Still is. And then I got this email from the Association of Music Podcasters. And I was like, oh, shit.
Damn! There's an association!
Yeah, all these people have banded against me. All doing their stuff. And I joined that. And, it's been great. Great bunch of guys. They produce a podcast every week called the Association of Music Podcast. Oh, shit, I don't know what it's called.
Something or other.
Which I should add, which all the podcasters that are members can submit tracks, and those tracks get played on the podcast.
Oh, I see. So it's like a sort of collective of all the...
conglomeration. Yep. Of all the music.
Because you're weekly, aren't you?
I'm weekly, yeah.
And how long does it take you to actually put the show together?
I've changed it a lot. The early shows, from about 20 onwards. I'm on 208 now.
Yeah.
The early shows used to take forever.
Mm.
And if you listen... I always say, look... don't just listen to this show. If you've got some time, listen to the early stuff. Because that's the thing about podcasts. And the thing about podcasts is they're very precious about their podcasts. And they're there forever.
Mm.
That's the thing. You know, this is what a lot of artists don't get either. That if you want to send something away, like a press release or something, and you've been playing on a podcast, you can link to that podcast. Because that podcast page on that website will be there forever.
Yes.
So people want to listen to other stuff when you go... like, I've interviewed some great people. I used to do loads of interviews. I used to do competitions. I used to do music review things. I did some stuff with some friends of mine called Watch With Mothers, who used to do amazing comedy stuff, and they went on to become... did some stuff with them called Hot Potatoes. And their comedy stuff in there, so there's comedy stuff, there's all kinds of things, all mixed in.
Jam pack must have taken forever.
It must have taken hours.
Yeah.
But I had a job, and so, you know, I wasn't doing that. But now most of my time is plugging Nick Tan, which is, I used to find hard, but now I'm kind of, because I kept Nick Tan, different from Nick.
Yes, yeah.
And so I could separate myself, but it's slowly becoming part of me.
Ooh.
Which is quite okay, because it means I can go and go to gigs. I don't get nervous at gigs. I'm excited about gigs. I'm like, oh, lovely.
Yes, right, lovely. Come on.
Let's have some of this. Let's try this new thing out. Yeah. Or I've got a new song. Or I've got a new technique I want to try out. A performance thing.
Yeah.
Which a part of me is going, oh no, it must all come from the heart. But okay, but what if your heart's not in it? What if your heart's not in it? How are you going to perform then? Do you just not turn up? I'm sorry, my heart's not in it.
Yes, it's something about... I don't... Yeah, what does that... I think it's a perfectly noble aim to try and make your performance as good as it can possibly
be. Absolutely right.
That's a fine ambition.
Yeah. Yeah.
A fine ambition to want to improve.
And it doesn't always work.
Improve yourself. Well, John Hegley, the poet...
Yeah, I know John
loved
Hegley.
Loved it. He says it's all, everything is work in progress. Even the gig is work in progress. It's just, you're on this line, and then occasionally an audience will come in and see where you are on that line of your life, really.
I did an interview the other day, and someone said, what's the best gig you've done? And I've played to like over 1,000 people at the Tyree Folk Festival last year.
Yeah.
I played to massive places, but... best gig for me was at the Slaughtered Lamb last November. October.
It's a revolting name.
It's a brilliant pub.
Yeah.
Brilliant pub.
Where is it?
It's in Clerkenwell in London.
Right, yeah.
And I was the first one on. Yeah, I was the first one on. And I turned up, and I hustle a lot to get gigs. Slaughtered Lamb, if there's any acoustic artists out there, or any artists at all out there that know their London scene, Slaughtered Lamb, it's one of those... done the Slaughtered Lamb.
Right.
Da da da. It's on that list of...
so you're on good, a sort of particular... good gigs. Yeah, circuit good gigs. Of good gigs.
Yeah, 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 yeah. They don't book anybody. They don't think it's any good.
Yeah.
They don't say to you, oh, how many people are you going to bring? I actually got paid for this gig. Didn't bring anybody to it. It's that sort
you reached a certain level when you do the Slaughtered Lamb.
Yeah. And I started playing. And when I was there, it's a lovely situation. It's in the cellar. And there were four people in there when I first started. But I was in such a good mood because I was playing the Slaughtered Lamb.
Play away.
It was great. Everyone was like, brilliant. And after about, maybe the second song, everybody started to come in. And because it was quiet, the atmosphere was quiet because there were only four people in there.
Yeah.
They were like, oh. And
so because they were of my. A and, listening.
They were. And because of my performance, that I've been thinking about, thinking, right, I'm going to do this tonight. I'm going to make sure I make sure I don't play any happy songs.
Yeah.
That was my thing. I'm not going to play any... Come on, everybody! I mean, I've got a couple of sort of happy-ish songs that I've got in my arsenal in a pub if I want to get someone's attention. Just
jollying the crowd along.
Come on. Right. And then getting them on board that way. But I wasn't going to do that. It was all going well. And then they all came in. They all sat down. And they were all like... chins on their hands and listening. And everything I said, they listened to. Every little joke, they laughed at. Everything was great. I sold CDs. I signed people up to my mailing list. And that was
the
lovely.
Flow was
that
beautiful.
Was just beautiful. And I came off, I was like, that is the best gig I have ever done. Because all those things are perfect. Now, I could have had the same people at that gig who were all in there with me playing, and something else might have happened and they wouldn't have paid attention.
Yeah.
Or a number of other things could have happened.
Mm.
Because I've done lots of other gigs. I've done gigs before where it's been a packed place, no one's paying any attention to
me. Oh, do you know what I hate? Is you're on stage and, I mean, I don't play to the same level as you at all, but you're on stage and you've got the first 10, 15 people, and then but the bar or whatever is so far away at the back that they just can't engage with what's
going on. Well, that's the thing.
And there's this burble of conversation. Oh!
The thing is because I'll take anybody that's going to pay me to do a gig, sometimes I'll play a pub. Now, depending on the pub, it can go better than other times.
Mm.
But my attitude is if I'm playing in a pub, I don't use a big PA when I play. I haven't got a big PA. I've got a little amplifier. Which is, you've got a little amplifier.
A little Marshall.
Mine's a little... Mine's actually smaller than that.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a Trace Elliott acoustic
amp.
Yeah. It's good quality. It's not rubbish. It's good. Not saying that's rubbish, but, you know. And so people have to listen to me.
Yeah.
I don't blast out. Especially in a pub. Now, I'm on the side of the punter in a pub. I've gone down the pub to have a chat with my mates and have a bit of a laugh this particular night. There just so happens to be some music bloke
there. Some arsehole is trying to play songs over there.
That's right.
Shut up.
Yeah. So that's one of the reasons I keep it quiet.
Yeah.
And I don't try and always get their attention.
Yeah.
I don't think... It doesn't annoy me if the whole pub's talking.
And not paying attention. I agree.
That's a pub.
It's that half and half world I can't stand. The ones at the front are not having a good time and the ones at the back aren't having a good time. If everybody's listening great, if everybody's burbling and you're more a sort of, you're a cabaret, your background music, you're, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine as well. Because in that pub, I'm getting paid.
Yeah,
so great. Then I go, this is my job.
Yeah.
Okay? And another place is where it's a music thing, like the Slaughtered Lamb, it's a total venue, music venue.
Yeah.
So people have come to listen to music. So if anyone's talking through my set then, I have ways, I have techniques. I have ninja
skills. It's your little mission.
Little
to
ninja skills.
Get them.
Little ninja skills that I like to impart to other people, other musicians, of how to do it.
Are you willing to share any with us?
Yeah.
Or are they secret ninja skills?
I'll tell you the secret
ninja
skills.
Go on then,
skills.
Tell me. Tell
if
me now.
This won't
work. I'll put my black hood on with the eye slits. Right, I'm ready for your ninja.
This won't work in a pub with noisy people.
Okay.
And it probably won't work on drunks.
Right.
It'll work if there's solitary drunks, it might work. But the thing with drunk people in pubs, and there are a few of them, and music venues, is that some things just don't work. But generally, what you can do, what you don't do, is you play louder.
Yeah.
Don't play louder. Don't play louder. Don't. Go quieter.
Right.
Go slower.
Yeah.
Go slower and quieter than you've ever done before, almost to be not playing. Okay, if you've got some people listening to you, and there's a... Excuse me, who's that?
Crazy ringtone, man.
I don't know who that is. If you've got people that are listening to you, and it did happen in the Slaughtered Lamb, there was one guy talking, who was quite animated talking in this, and he was the only one. And so I'd be playing a song. I'm just...
So it's almost what's he stopped? What's going on?
Yeah. Text message. And so what I'm doing is I'm quietening it right down so you can barely hear it.
Yeah.
So I'm actually making him sound much louder than
he
is. Oh, so
he suddenly sounds like an idiot.
He sounds like an idiot. And his friends were going, or the other audience members were looking at him, daggers, going, shh. And this is what happened.
Ah.
So when I said it was the perfect gig, because that happened.
Yeah.
And if you can, I mean, what I did on that night, he finally quietened down and looked at me and was like, a little bit sheepish.
Oh, sorry, mate.
And I was like, don't let me come down there. Because I will. And that's the thing we were talking about earlier on about, you can, although I play these songs that are sombre,
yeah,
melancholy, reflective, football whatever.
Songs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. In between it, I'm not like, well, this song I wrote about, I'm quite a jolly person, yeah, just naturally.
Yeah.
And so after a song that's really, I'll be like, that did me in, that song, you know?
Yeah.
So I can still be Nick and Nick Tan, the performer.
Yeah.
In between those songs, you get like me.
Do you know, I was just thinking, my sister's a teacher, and she came to teaching sort of quite late in life. She it was a sort of second career for her. And so she was, it was really interesting talking to her about all those things she was learning about managing a classroom.
Yeah.
And I swear that she's talked to me about that as well, about dropping your voice,
yeah,
and making the class look up. Also, it can be quite a menacing thing to do as well, can't it? That real, no, I'm really serious.
Yeah.
Rather than going up there.
Well, the thing
that'd be interesting to put you, teachers, stand-up comics, all those people who've got to hold a room together, and talk about what, because I bet you will do share techniques with her.
Well, there's one, because I teach as well.
Oh, yeah.
And because I'm also a compere, I do comparing, so yeah, I sort of crack a few little jokes and things to hold that audience. There are little tips that you do pick up. As a guitar teacher, I found a brilliant one. I sort of discovered it last year. I teach a lot of kids.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're like, their eyes are all over the place.
Yeah.
And you're showing them something, and you say, right, okay, I want you to look at this, and see what I'm doing here.
Yeah, and
they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Simple instructions. Okay, watch and listen. And I tried it this kid that I was teaching was like, bang, right on me, watching and listening.
So watch and listen.
Watch and listen.
Rather than just watch.
Okay, just watch and listen.
Right, so that's,
and that's like,
all of my senses you want.
Yeah, I want them to, oh, okay, I've got to do this. And that really centred them. And I used to be, there's loads of things I've been. I've been a swimming teacher and I've been a lifeguard and all kinds of stuff in Australia. Yeah. And I've picked up loads and loads of little bits of information along the way that have all added to what I do. One of the things that I was taught as a lifeguard, that one of the things about that lifeguards do basically is tell kids not to run in a swimming pool.
Yeah.
Okay. That doesn't really work.
So you just blow your whistle and point.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's that.
And they look a bit like wanker.
Yeah, but what you do is you say, don't run.
Mm.
Don't ever say don't run.
Yeah.
Because you're just telling them they've got to work something out. There's a thought process.
Yeah.
If you just say walk, boom, you've told them exactly
it's
what to do.
It's a positive command. It's a positive. Not a don't do something.
Well, but they haven't got to think about it.
Yes, and then
you've told them walk. You never told them don't run. So their brain process hasn't got to go, don't run. So what does that mean?
What's the alternative?
Fly? Fly, hop, wiggle, skip, whatever? Oh, okay, let's choose. And that thought process can take a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
And when I used to do it, because I used to be a lifeguard like full time, and you said to someone, oi, walk. I've done it with kids. They've been running. I've gone, oi, walk. And the message has been so positive, they've fallen over. Trying to stop, like, whoa, whoa,
you've
whoa.
You've got powers. They're your ninja powers.
Well, it's kind of like those ninja powers. It's like that, is it NLP?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I don't know an awful lot about it.
I don't know either. I have a friend who knows quite a lot
about it. But I reckon it works like crazy.
Yeah.
Because you're just sort of saying these positive things, and not in the same positive, like, oh, isn't it a lovely sunny day?
Yeah.
But you're saying, do this, do that, nice and simple stuff.
Yeah.
So all those little bits and pieces of all go into my performance, to everything I do.
Bless you.
You want to tune? I'm not going to play you a happy tune.
No!
I'm not going to do that.
Don't want a happy tune.
Don't want a happy tune.
I want a thoughtful tune.
A thoughtful tune.
Your guitar's on the floor, your pick's in your hand.
The thing is,
he's walked away. Look at something.
I'm still here.
He's now in the kitchen.
I'm still here. I've got to come back.
Yes.
This is another one of the things. Just before you were thinking I was perfect, one of the problems that I have sometimes is remembering words. And it might seem a little bit strange. But these are some words that I've written. Why would I forget them?
Well, there's quite a lot of them, I'd imagine.
Well, there are quite a lot of them. And also, with a new song, I've probably only seen this song, you know. And this is the brand new song. No one's heard this yet.
Hey, I'm privileged.
Normally when I record stuff, when I write a new song, I do a rough demo of it, put it online and go, hey, look, everybody, I got this new song. But I have decided not to do this with this particular song because I'm going into the studio next month to record an album.
Yay!
And this song will be on the album. And
that's exciting.
It is exciting. What I've done is, have you heard of these things called Kickstarters?
Yeah.
And all that sort of stuff. Crowdfunding and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I did this a few years ago for a project called the Vinyl Project. And I did it, this is before Facebook.
Mm.
And I did it without Facebook, without crowdfunding. I did it through my blog. I used to do a lot of blogging. I don't do as much blogging as I should do, really. Where's this song? Put it here somewhere. There it is. And I thought, well, I want to do the same thing again. Because I don't see the point. These crowdfunding websites, I don't see the point.
Right.
Because all you're going to do is say to people, hey, go to this website and donate some money. Why not set it up on your own website and say, go to my website and donate money. I set up a PayPal button, which is easy to do if you've got a PayPal account.
Yeah, I suppose if you use Kickstarter and stuff, you're actually putting yourself in amongst a whole lot of other people who are asking for money as well.
I mean, if you had any money, do you just go wandering around going, oh, I know what? I just wander around crowdfunding or Kickstarter and just donate some money willy-nilly, just for the hell of it. And I thought, no, I'd rather direct people, even people that haven't heard of me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big fan of Twitter. I love Twitter.
Oh, mad for the Twitter.
Mm. Just broke my 5,000 followers mark.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. new age.
5,000 is very cool.
It's not bad. It's taken me a lot of work to do that as well. So I thought, well, I'll do that. And I managed to raise 700 quid, which isn't bad.
Yeah.
I'm really pleased about it. And I'm really fortunate to have people that there's a few like local people, especially people like Rue, who's brilliant, and just said, I believe in you, Nick. Go and make this album.
I'd like to hear that. Yeah, it's almost like a sort of pre-sale of the...
Yeah, it is. Well, all the people that put money towards it will all get a CD.
Yeah. Well, exactly. So you think, no, well, it's Nick.
They'll get other things as well.
Or you've got little treats for them.
Oh, little treats. And I've got other little bits and pieces to come as well that I'm going to do that I'm going to roll out as soon as I can get my head together. So I've got that for this album. And I'm going to try and get a little bit more. I'm putting a lot of money towards it.
Yeah.
But
how much does studio time cost? I've no idea.
It's about £200 a day. That's what I'm paying.
Yeah.
It's a really good studio.
That sounds like mates' rates, though. Is
£200 a day? Well, I'm a solo artist.
Well, that's before you've paid.
It's a small studio.
Engineer time or anything.
No, that's all part of it. That's all part of it. Right. It's a little studio called Zanzibar Studios in Winchester.
Yeah.
A guy called Toby runs it. Absolutely brilliant. Can't wait to get in there. It's not a massive studio. It's not Abbey Road.
Right. So you couldn't have a five-piece band in there.
No. And it's just going to be me.
Perfect. Just
so because I play bass as well, it's going to be me, guitar, bass.
And you did a bit of your own backing vocals as well?
Oh, yeah, I do harmonies.
Yes,
harmonies and stuff like that.
I was listening to some of your YouTube tunes earlier.
YouTube tunes. Cool. So, yes.
So, come on then. Let's put... how about I bring this table forward, then you can put your lyrics are on your iPad there. Does that help?
Yeah. That's fine.
You know you've got your little foldy stand thing, don't you? Yes. I had to show somebody that the other day, and they had no idea that iPad could roll round and be a stand.
Okay, so this is a brand new song.
Aww.
It's not...
Listen, I'm used to ukuleles. Tuning? What's tuning?
Used to have a song, one of my happier songs. This is the only time I'm going to explain this song.
Right.
Okay.
Capture
just for you.
Time.
This is the only time I'm going to explain this song.
Okay.
I wrote a song called That Woman, which is a kind of sort of upbeat country, not quite Achy Breaky Heart, but in that kind of like.
Okay, so we're.
Yeah. And it's quite a misogynistic song.
Right.
And I've been playing it for a few years because it's quite a good song to play live, and it's got that.
So what, you're a bit angry about this woman, are you?
It was a bit. It was just.
I was wondering why you were being a misogynist.
No. Because it was kind of, it fitted the genre.
Right.
It fitted the genre at the time.
A bit of a country
If people are into it, it's called That Woman, Nick Tan.
Right.
If you Google that, you'll find a copy of it somewhere. And I just thought, I don't really like that song anymore. There's something about it. The lyrically, it was like, and it wasn't really matching what I wanted to do anymore. I didn't really want to do that kind of thing. I want to get into more of the deeper music. I've listened to a lot of different music recently. It kind of got me in that mood. I'm like, I don't need to do that. I don't want to do that. And the words were a bit like, you know what? It doesn't sit easy with me.
Yeah.
Because it was a little bit misogynistic. Not a lot, but, you know, sometimes those songs can be like that. And so this is kind of like an answer to that,
okay.
to that song. And if you listen to the That Woman song, you'll hear some musical similarities.
Okay.
But I won't explain this song anymore,
no.
ever again.
Don't need to hear anymore.
Because I'm going to, not just today, but
I'm gonna
ever.
Sit. Just move over so I can appreciate playing more.
Okay.
I love watching people play. Anyway, this is Nick Tan and his new song.
And the rain's coming.
I know, it's falling down now. I wonder if I've got a couple of nice heavy books or something.
Just to prop it up. Just because I've got the words here, and I don't want to mess the song up because of the words. That'll be fine.
Is that going to help?
That's going to be fine.
Cool. Look, you're on my Best of Crossroads book.
Really?
Oh, my sister gave me that. I laugh hysterically.
I've got a collection of Carry On books.
Oh, marvellous.
Okay. But I did you wrong. So I wrote this song. Did you wrong? So I wrote this song for you. Best thing I did was say goodbye, but I did you wrong, so I wrote this song, I did you wrong, so I wrote this song. You. but I did you wrong. So I wrote this song. Did you wrong? So I wrote this song for you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And you wanted a happy song?
No, I don't want a happy song.
I'll let you off that.
Beautiful. You said you've been listening to lots of maybe change the things you're listening to or other things are speaking to you at the moment?
Always.
Because I was thinking, for me, that took me right back to kind of really old, scratchy blues.
Yeah.
You know, old guys sitting on their porch with
a sort of one string. Yeah.
Boxy guitar.
Yeah, I love those guys.
Yeah?
Skip James is one of my favourites. He's a real, he's a blues singer from like the 20s. But yeah, I sort of said about when you're playing sometimes, and if there's somebody loud in the audience, that you can actually take it really, really quiet.
Yeah.
I've been listening to other people and I pick up influences all the time.
Mm.
All the time. I'm a songwriter. I soak up stuff like a sponge from people. And I heard a song. And I just thought, God, you really can go that dark.
Yeah.
And yeah, it did.
Well, I was thinking as well. I mean, it feels, listening to it, like quite an angry song, but a sad song, but an angry song as well. But angry at your, you know.
Yeah.
I've fucked up big time.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's kind of, if you listen to that woman song.
Yeah.
It's kind of an.
Definitely.
After you listen to that song, and you go, oh, what a wanker.
Yeah.
And then you listen to this and go, it's going, fucked up.
Yeah.
I really did that. And that's what it is. It's like years after that woman, then you get that.
I was listening to, may I make a request?
Of course you can.
Is it called, I wrote it down, is it called Don't?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, can you play 3 a.m? Because that's with the capo and I haven't got the capo.
All right.
There's something about this song that there's a particular verse.
What? Are you going to cry, Nick?
I mess up
every time. Oh, right, you're going to mess it up.
Oh, it's so annoying.
That's all right.
And I messed it up on Saturday. I played it on Saturday.
Yeah.
The thing about writing your own stuff, if you mess it up, no one really knows unless you don't.
Yes, they don't know what the
change is. They don't go, actually, the words for that third verse aren't that.
Yeah.
You've sung them the wrong way around. And sometimes when I've done songs, because I'm not nervous and I'm switched on during a gig, I've actually rewritten a song, a verse.
Oh, what, on the hoof?
On the hoof.
Yes, without realising you're doing
it. Yeah, and not, because if people say, oh, well, I like that little bit of nervousness, I hate that bit of nervousness. Because if something messes up, you're not on it to fix it. And then you can panic and go, oh my God, I don't know the third verse! And so sometimes I just go, oh, it's in the first verse.
Yeah.
Who cares? Okay. So this song's going to be in the album as well. So all I need for this is all I need is that third verse. That's the one I mess up.
Well, we won't know, so I'll just enjoy it anyway.
Broken every rule now, don't you say you want me as I am. Well, don't. I try to do the best I can. No, don't. I'll let you see that I'm the man. No, don't. Wasn't never in the plan, 'cause I, strong as I am, the fear of falling, you just couldn't understand. Don't dream for things they might come true. Well, don't tell me that you want me to. Well, don't, not till you and him are through. No, don't, 'cause I could really fall for you. And I, strong as I am, the fear of falling, you just couldn't.
And play me some live songs today. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
On my podcast.
Brilliant.
Oh my God.
Well, there you go. That was me being genuinely very moved by the acoustic guitar and songs of Nick Tan. Nick's own podcast is called Is This Thing On, as is the night that he puts on at the railway in Winchester, and I'll put links to those two things on the show's website. That's how you can get in touch with us if you want to. The show's website is called nobitspod.com. Follow us on Twitter at nobitspod, or you can find us on Facebook at Smoothstar Nobits. Those of you listening hard will remember that last week I said that my guest today was going to be Mr. Poetry Matt West. Well, I've learnt my lesson now. Do not announce guests before dates have been confirmed in diaries. So I'm fixing up to speak to Matt, but it's not going to be yet. And so I've not got to the stage where I can preview guests ahead of time. But everyone I try and speak to is somebody who I think is genuinely interesting, who is going to have something interesting to say, and who is not trying to sell you anything, which I think is pretty cool. Exciting things coming up for me. This Saturday night, I'm having a gig at my very own house. I don't know if I'm going to do any tunes. I might do one. There's going to be some poetry from a good friend, Angela. And Grant Sharkey is going to be playing for me and a selected audience of invited chums. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then as a result of my meeting Nick today, we're thinking of doing something similar together later on in February, which I think would be amazing. I would love to listen to some more of his tunes. So that's what it's all about. Oi! New jobs, gigs, fights with school, green tea. It's all going on here, good people. Keep yourselves warm, keep yourselves dry. Put that fence back up if you still haven't mended it after the storm. I will get the gate fixed, I promise. And I'll see you next time. Cheers.